Welcome to the first day of summer, sports fans. Hopefully you got a cool one in hand and you're ready to talk Big Four sports today. From the sports mecca of the world, Los Angeles, this is the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast for Thursday, June 20th. My name is Mark Elliott, and thank you for checking out the podcast. Here's what's on deck for you today. Major League Baseball gets nostalgic tonight. The Fever are hot, and they can't be stopped. The NHL Finals just got more interesting. The outsiders pretending to be insiders got it wrong again. And can the Boston Celtics repeat? We're going to talk about it all today on the Big Four Sports No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, now playing on Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Alexa, and at BigFourSportsUSA.com. All right, if you're a New Orleans Saints fan, you want to check out the blog today, the sports page blog at BigFourSportsUSA.com. Your team is up as we do the Big Four Sports 2024 NFL team previews. You can check out all the teams we've done so far alphabetically. We're up to the New Orleans Saints, like I said, today at BigFourSportsUSA.com. All right, let's get into it. Tonight, Major League Baseball gets nostalgic. We don't have a game in Iowa this year, so Major League Baseball decided, let's go to Rickwood Field in Birmingham, Alabama. It's the home of the Negro Leagues, one of the oldest baseball fields in America, and I think it's so cool they're doing this. Willie Mays passed away, as you know, and you know, when I started watching baseball, Willie was on the downside of his career. I think he was like the last couple of years with the Giants, with Willie McCovey, Juan Marichal, and that group. And then he was traded to the New York Mets to finish out his career. But he was on the downside. He'd already accomplished everything. So I didn't really get to see him in his prime. But you see the films of this guy playing center field. He was an amazing player. Now, I got to warn you up front right now. It is Thursday. It's mow and blow day for the gardener. And that's going to cause my dog to go batshit crazy. So, the fun of having a home studio, I'll tell you what, man. But anyway, this game should be interesting because it does feature the San Francisco Giants and the St. Louis Cardinals, a couple of the oldest teams in Major League Baseball. As you know, the Giants got their start in New York back in the day, along with the Brooklyn Dodgers and New York Yankees. So I think it's very cool that baseball does this because they got to recruit black players. If you look at every Major League team, you've only got one or two black players on each team. There are so many Hispanic players in Major League Baseball playing now that I think the sport needs to balance out to where we've got a good balance between white, black, Hispanic players, Asian. That's what's great about Major League Baseball is it now showcases talent from all over the world. But the bottom line is baseball has struggled in recent years to attract black talent. So hopefully this game will help and hopefully it's a good game, good tight game tonight. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. All right, the Indiana Fever last night won their third game in a row. They beat the Washington Mystics, not one of the WNBA's better teams, but they still won a three-game homestand, which has put them at 6-10, and they are now eighth in the playoff race. And now I'm starting to see this team gel because they're on TV all the time. I made a comment that I thought this team is Caitlin Clark's team and everybody else is just so-so. But you're starting to see Aaliyah Boston come into her own. She was the Rookie of the Year last year. She's starting to play well with Clark. Kelsey Mitchell, to me, is the third star on this team. And she might even be the second star. She's solid. This girl can shoot. I mean, I'm telling you, she's fast and she can drive the lane. But it's fun to watch this team come together. So they may make the playoffs. I don't think they'll win the WNBA title, but they may give it a good shot to get maybe 5-6 deep. I mean, we're only 16 games into the season. We've got 24 more games to go. And Clark had a really consistent game for the second game in a row. She was 18 points, 12 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals. Last night. Very consistent numbers for Caitlin Clark last night. So if the season ended today, they're a playoff team. And I think the WNBA needs that. They need her to be good. The tough news at the hands of the LA Sparks, Cameron Brink tore her ACL. She's out for the season. She was the star rookie from Stanford. Fun to watch on the court. She's She's 6'4", but she plays like she's 6'10". You know, she's got long legs, long arms, lanky, block shots. Fun to watch her play, but, you know, the sparks weren't going anywhere this year anyway. But Godspeed to her. Hope she recovers and comes back strong next year. All right, the NHL playoffs got more interesting when Edmonton beat Florida in Florida in Game 5. Now we've got a series. You know, it was kind of interesting to me that at the start of the NBA Finals, the NHL Finals, they kind of mirrored each other. You know, Boston got up 3-0 on Dallas, and then Dallas came back and blew them out in Game 4. Same thing in Edmonton. Florida was up 3-0, and Edmonton blew out Florida 8-1 in Game 4, setting up a Game 5. The difference is Boston took care of business in Game 5 in the NBA Finals. Florida did not. Okay, Connor McDavid was played lights out in Game 5. Florida lost to Edmonton 5-3 in Game 5. And now we're off to Edmonton for Game 6 tomorrow night. If Edmonton wins this game, it sets up a Game 7. And we've said this all along, that anytime you put a Game 7, I don't care who the home team is, anything can happen. Now Florida is in that mode. Because now if Edmonton wins Game 6, all the momentum, three games in a row by the Oilers, puts the momentum on their side playing Game 7 in Florida. That's going to be a hell of a game. I love Game 7s. I hope we get there. I hope Edmonton kicks Florida's ass Friday night so we get at least to see a Game 7 in a final series. But yeah, the momentum is on the Oilers' side right now. And if they can take care of business at home, Game 7 in Florida will be fantastic. Can't wait to see it. All right, the outsiders pretending to be insiders. These are the guys on X who write for the NBA. I mean, I could go through all the different names, but who cares? These are the guys. You know who they are. They predict who the coaches are going to be, all the big trades that never happen, all the coaching changes that are never going to happen. They predict them all. And it's all to get clicks and views and all of this stuff. But I find it very entertaining because, and that's why I call them the outsiders pretending to be insiders. And they have no clue what's going on. They just kind of read a lot of stuff like you and I do. And they try to put things together and they throw it out on their feed to get people to talk. And it works. And it's fun. There's no problem with it. It's just that it's fun to see how damn often they're wrong. Okay. J.J. Redick, as you know, a few months ago, had the Lakers job sewn up because he was LeBron's buddy. They were doing a podcast together. And what LeBron wants, LeBron gets. Okay, so they had J.J. Redick locked in. And all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, Dan Hurley pops up. Oh, Dan Hurley could be coach. They also threw Monty Williams, who was under contract with the Pistons, as a possible coach. So again, the outsiders pretending to be insiders. This is what they're throwing around. Okay, now, earlier this week, again, back to J.J. Redick, because Dan Hurley said no. Monty Williams is now available because Detroit fired him, but they're not going in that direction. They're still sold earlier this week that J.J. Redick was going to be the coach. Now, this morning, reading these feeds, now the Lakers aren't totally sold in hiring J.J. Redick right now. They're still shopping. I think if the Lakers were going to hire J.J. Redick, it would have been done by now. It would have been done. So I think they're still searching and looking at options before they name a head coach. The first thing that needs to get done, and we've talked about this throughout this podcast, is that the Lakers need to know what LeBron James is going to do. Okay? All the cards are on his table. If he returns to the Lakers, then everything will start to fall in place. If he doesn't resign, the Lakers now have to go in a completely different direction. I think they go in rebuild mode at that point. That means they could potentially trade Anthony Davis for draft picks or other people to start to rebuild this team. I mean, let's face it. They were an eighth seed the last 2 years. That's not going to get the job done in Los Angeles. I mean, the Clippers have dusted the Lakers pretty good over the last decade. And I think the Lakers now feel the need that Boston has won their 18th championship to start rebuilding this team. I mean, it was funny to read a post from Magic Johnson the other day. Magic posted that, congratulated the Celtics on winning the title. and I'm sitting there looking at the draft picks from 2016-17 when the Lakers took Brandon Ingram over Jaylen Brown. Next year, they took Ball over Tatum. And I'm thinking, that's how close it is to the Lakers being where the Boston Celtics are right now. They could have had Jaylen Brown. They could have had Jason Tatum. And the two draft picks that they took, no longer with the team. When you're in a position to get a number one, two, or three pick in the NBA, because after the third pick, in most cases, who cares? You're not getting a game changer. You're not getting a generational player. And that's the problem with the NBA draft and why I don't do mock drafts, because most of them are three, maybe five players deep. After that, you're not getting a game changer. You're just getting a piece to help rebuild your organization. Lakers have a 17th pick this year, and the argument is the Lakers are going to trade their three number one picks that they own to move up in this draft. I don't think there's a generational player in this draft. We'll see. But it takes time for these players to develop, as it has Boston. I mean, what was it, 7 years for Boston, for Brown and Tatum to win a championship? So it's just very interesting to see the outsiders pretending to be insiders do all these mock drafts and picks. I don't really do mock drafts, and the reason for that is they're wrong 9 out of 10 times. It's fun to do. It's fun to chart it out and make these predictions, but I think they're a waste of time. I'd rather deal in reality. After the picks are made, now let's see where the pieces fall and how these teams could possibly perform. Maybe that's old school, but that's my way. I'm just not into the mock thing. Mock this, mock NFL, mock Major League Baseball, mock NHL, mock NBA, mock WNBA is now going to be a big thing. You know, mock this. Let's just deal in reality here. I think Alex Saar will probably go first to Atlanta, and I think the Hawks are going to be a good team if they make that move. Hopefully, they don't make a lot of changes, because Atlanta's been around a long time. They've been a losing franchise forever, and it's about time the Hawks become a player in the Eastern Conference, which I think they can pretty quick, which leads to the question, can the Boston Celtics repeat? You know what? Boston has as good a chance as any. If they get a full season out of Porzingis, he's a Bambi. He's like Anthony Davis. Hard to get him on the court 75, 80 games out of the season. But Boston, as long as they got Brown and Tatum, they can move players around. I don't want to shortchange Drew Holiday either. So Boston's got a solid team. There's no reason they can't repeat. There's a lot of questions in Philadelphia, New York, and Milwaukee coming up this offseason that they have to fill pretty damn quick in order to solidify the team. The Celtics are solid. They won 64 games for a reason. Are they a dynasty? Can they repeat? You know, Minnesota's coming on in the West. Denver's going to come back. And there are other teams that are improving in the NBA West. So even like I said with the Lakers, they may not be a top 10 team in the Western Conference next year, depending again on what LeBron James does. The New York Knicks could be interesting with Julius Randle coming back. And if for some strange instance that LeBron James signs with the New York Knicks, I think that's the only team he should change and go to if he's going to leave the Lakers, should be the New York Knicks. Then at that point, I believe the Celtics have some competition on their hands to repeat next year. But here we are. We've got almost a nearly 40-year-old athlete. And depending on what LeBron James does, still kind of hinges on how the whole NBA kind of lays out for next season. And next season will be here before you know it, even though today is the first day of summer. And we're all getting ready now for the NFL. I mean, once we have the NHL finals, everything's going to start to lay out. It's going to be about getting ready for the NFL season. And, of course, we'll be talking about a lot of off-season moves in the NBA coming up in the off-season as well. All right, let's get into the email this morning. Go to big4sportsusa.com. You can send us a question there via the chat box. That's really the most popular way folks do it these days. But you can also send us an email at sports@big4sportsusa.com. All right, Connor G. from Provo, Utah said, what do you expect the Utah hockey team to do in the first year? Well, first of all, they got to get a name. I think today's the last day that fans can send in their team name suggestions. I think it's pretty cool that the folks at Utah decided to bring the fans in. It's a good way to bring the fans in. Hey, name the team for us. The names that they're considering, Blizzard, Mammoth, the Outlaws, Yeti, Venom, and HC, meaning Utah Hockey Club. I hope they don't go with HC. That's so lame. Now, I've always been, if you've listened to the podcast, in favor of professional teams dumping team names. Just go with the city that you're in, or if you got one team in the state, that's who you are. You don't need to be a Cardinal. You don't need to be a Ram. It just seems kind of silly to me that we got grown men running around with little animal names on their jersey, for an example. But as long as we have team names, I would say, Connor, I don't think they'll call it HC. The other name, Yeti, that's too Mormon. And I don't mean that in a negative fashion. It's just that it eliminates everybody else. And when you bring politics and religion, unless you're in the politic and religion business, you got to leave it out. So I don't think it'll be Yeti. It's probably going to come down to Blizzard, Mammoth, or Outlaws, and Venom. Outlaws has been overused. It doesn't really fit the vibe in Utah. So I think potentially it's down to Blizzard, Mammoth, and Venom. I kind of like Venom myself, you know. But you got Blizzard and Mammoth, which Salt Lake City is known for its snow and skiing. They could go that route. But Venom has bite to it. It's right up there with, you know, Seattle the Kraken. You know, the last team that entered the NHL. So it's going to be interesting, but that's what they've got to get done first. But you're looking at the, you know, it's not an expansion team. It's the Arizona Coyotes, and they were 36-41-5 last year, Connor. And, you know, I think they need a face for the franchise. Number one, they need some star power. The team name obviously needs to get done. And I think those are the two things. But I think they'll be a decent team. You know, you can flip five games and be a playoff team in that conference real easy. So if they get some star power, make some changes. Again, the owners of the Utah Jazz bought this team. And, you know, you have about a three-year window in any new expansion team. I mean, right now the Kraken have done well. The Vegas Knights did it right. But those were expansion teams. The Arizona Coyotes now becoming the Utah whatevers. They should do very well next season for you. I think you'll enjoy it. But they'll get, 3 years of really solid support in Salt Lake City. They've been starving for something other than the Utah Jazz for years. All right, Pete V. from Gary, Indiana says, I'm not buying your BS about the hit on Caitlin Clark by Angel Reese being a basketball play. There is a lot of hatred for Clark and Reese more than anyone else. Well, Pete, I think you're drinking the Kool-Aid. I kind of sipped on that cup a little bit. But I go back to my playing days, and I just, on that play, as I said, it's a basketball play because the defense goal there is to protect the paint. When a player goes in the paint, you hit them. You make them think twice before they come in. And it's real easy to automatically take that shot that Reese gave Clark and turn it into a racist thing. I'm kind of over that. Kind of over it. Is there envy there? Is there jealousy there? Yeah, it's there. It's there. There's no doubt about it. But I think as the season progresses, it's getting less and less. As teams have to really focus in on making the playoffs. You know, these ladies play rough. They play tough. I watched the game last night with the Mystics. And elbows were flying, pushing and shoving. There was a call towards the end of the game where Clark broke away for a layup and she got hacked across the shoulder. Foul wasn't called. So you get some of that back and forth. I think you have to spend more time with the game, but stop drinking that Kool-Aid. Greg M. from Peoria, Illinois. Based on your NFL previews, you have Green Bay winning the NFC North over Detroit. Are you serious? Yeah, I am serious. That's going to be a tough schedule. All you have to do is line up Green Bay's schedule with Detroit's schedule, and you can see where Green Bay has an advantage. You know, they play the really good teams at home, where Detroit has a lot of road games against good teams. And Detroit should win some of those games. But when you look at those two schedules side by side, I've got Green Bay going 11-6, Detroit 10-7. Okay, Detroit could easily go 12-5 again, easily. But they've got to win a couple of tough road games to make that happen. And I'm not saying that it won't, but on the outside, comparing those two schedules is where I've got Green Bay winning that conference. And coming up, once we do all the NFL team previews, by the way, we will make our predictions based off of that from division to division, division to division. Easy for me to say today. All right, that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks for listening. Be sure to tell your friends about the Big Four Sports, No Autopsy, No Foul podcast, also about the sports page and blog. You can check that out at BigForSportsUSA.com. You can also check out my other podcast called the Radio Espionage Underground Podcast, where it's just a big bull session about top stories of the day, news stories, entertainment, music, you name it. We talk about it all. So check that out, too. It's available on most podcast apps, too, by the way. We're going to do this again on Monday. Until then, have a good weekend and game over.